The following podcast has been recorded under the influence of alcohol. While not intentionally offensive, things are said, feelings may be hurt, and f**ks are not given. Clearly, it's the beer's fault. Of Good Beer, Bad Movie Night, the podcast dedicated, shut up Dave, to movies of questionable quality and the frosty adult beverages that help make them tolerable. Tonight's feature presentation is 1960s Ship of Monsters. I will be starting off with the 6-minute synopsis here in just a few minutes, and then we're going to take a quick break, grab ourselves a beer. After the beer, we're going to talk about the movie, take another quick break for another beer.
Another beer, right.
Those are my favorite parts.
The beer parts?
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Especially the another beers.
The second beer usually de-escalates the whole podcast into some form of goo.
Which should be interesting today.
Yeah. Okay, so, and then of course we're going to wrap up with the six-pack rating, where we grade on a 1 to 6 rating. How many beers must you be? How much you consume to enjoy this film?
I must be 4 beers.
Right. And we're already a few beers into it. So anyway, before any of that happens, we've already heard our voices tonight. But guys, who is everybody?
I is Dave.
You is Dave.
I am Dave.
Are you looking at me? It's my turn. Kathleen.
And I am Troy.
Oh boy, my name's Pete, and I just lost my screen. There it is. Okay, very good. So tonight's film, Ship of Monsters, is we're celebrating Cinco de Mayo with a Spanish language film. Thank you, Kathleen.
From Mexico.
We found it on the YouTubes. It's a blast. It ticks off a lot of boxes for me, so we're very excited to get into the reviews. Okay, I'm ready for the 6-minute synopsis. Kathleen,
timer
if you will.
Is ready, set, go.
Due to atomic fallout, the last man on Venus has died, and the remaining Venusian women need to repopulate the planet. Swimsuit models Gamma and Beta, along with the robot companion Tor, has been sent to search for the most attractive males in the galaxy to bring back for Venusian Snoo-Snoo. As a side note, remember that the character development is Gamma is good, Beta is bad. The mission goes well as they have kidnapped and frozen 4 males in carbonite. Suddenly, they experience ship trouble and have to make an emergency landing on a planet called Earth. We are introduced to the singing vaquero Laureano, who's telling tall tales at the local cantina. While no one believes in his tall tales, they all seem to be enjoying the show. On his way home, Laureano runs into Beta and Gamma, who conceal their identities by telling him that they're with a traveling circus that is still a few days out. They ask if all men are like him, to which Laureano claims to be of the finest of stock. Impressed with his braggarting, the women zap him Men in Black style so they can head back to the ship to report back to Venus. The ladies say that Earth males are similar to their own species, which prompts the Venusian command to tell them to bring back the most beautiful Earthman, or in this case, Laureano. Laureano is now home at the farm, finishing up chores while putting his little brother Chewie to bed. The gals and Tor the robot show up looking for a place to stay, since the rest of the circus, of course, has not yet arrived. Laureano tells them that, of course, they can stay with him, and asks the ladies if they are single or married, which happens to be a concept lost on both of the Venusians. Laureano puts a coin into the jukebox and proceeds to sing an explanation of love and marriage. The women are very interested in what happens when the desire between two people manifests, so Laureano demonstrates by smooching both of them individually. Damn it! Beta really likes the smooching and zaps Laureano before asking Gamma if she can keep him. Gamma explains that love is voluntary on Earth, but Beta insists that he will be hers. Beta goes back to the ship, and while she is gone, Gamma and Laureano express feelings for each other. After a loving embrace, she bids Laureano adieu and leaves. On his way out, Tor hits on the jukebox, saying, "Hey, baby, nas bulbos," before joining Gamma back at the ship. Gamma returns to the ship and finds Beta missing, so Gamma calls her on the magic video phone, just in time to witness Beta turning into a vampire and attacking a villager. See? Beta bad. Gamma sends Tor to collect Beta and contacts the Venusian Council for advice. They say that drinking human blood is the galaxy's worst offense, and Beta is to be disintegrated at dawn. Tor returns Beta to Gamma and is informed of the Council's decision. Beta wants to get it over with and requests for the disintegration to be done immediately. As Gamma prepares the disintegration chamber, Beta turns heel and tosses Gamma into the chamber and takes control of Tor's Xbox controller. Beta reveals that she's not from Venus, but rather from Uranus! Or she's a Uranite, which I guess is the same thing. She wants to take revenge on Earth for all the jokes that it's made at the expense of her home planet. She then defrosts the other male monsters and convinces them all to help her take over the Earth. The monster Grizzlor is sent to attack all the children. The skeleton monster is sent to bone all the women. Ook the Cyclops is ordered to kill the animals. Krag and Beta, they want to go drink all the human blood. We now cut to Loreno and Chewie returning to the farm after a nice ride, only to find that Ook has already skeletonized the family cow. Loreano is attacked by all four monsters, but is able to get away and returns to the cantina to get help. Unfortunately, everyone thinks that he's telling stories again, and he's just laughed at. Even though Loreano knows that this might be the end of the world, he sticks around the cantina to get shit-faced. Clearly, Loreano is a guy that we need to get on this podcast. As Loreano stumbles out of the cantina, Tor shows up and transports him back to the ship, where he meets up with Beta. Beta tells him that she is now his property, he is now her property, and Loreano doesn't reciprocate her intentions and only sees her as a sister-in-law. These are actual words spoken in the film. Loreano suddenly realizes that he's in a spaceship, shocker, and tells Beta that he didn't think that they were from Venus, he just thought they were a couple of white girls or something. Beta threatens to destroy destroy his village if he doesn't comply with her womanly needs. Loreano doesn't really want to help Beta, but he needs to get the ship's Xbox controller back and tells Beta that he will help her. Beta brings Loreano to a cave where the other alien monsters have set up shop for world domination. He uses his masculine wiles to literally sing the ship's Xbox controllers off of her and escapes the cave back to the ship with Vampire Beta in hot pursuit. Loreano reaches the ship, and with the Xbox controller, Loreano frees Gamma from prison and Tor from Beta's control. They decide to put an end to the threat of Beta and the monsters. A battle ensues, and we see Chewie deflating Krag the Brain Guy by popping his eyeball out with a slingshot. Loreano ends Grizzlor by feeding him his own venom, and Tor electrocutes Ook the Cyclops. Then, Vampire Beta gets staked by a tree branch while she attacks Gamma, who has rolled under a log. After the chaos of the battle, Gamma contacts the Venusian Council to tell them that she has failed and is staying on Earth to love Loreano. She says that Venus needs to solve their own problems and leave Earth in peace. We now see Tor piloting an empty ship back to Venus, accompanied by his new lover, the jukebox.
Hey.
30 seconds or so.
Needed 6 minutes and 20 seconds.
Ah.
Boo.
We have to boo you.
Boo. That's the rule.
I deserve the booing. Son of a gun.
Yeah, that was really good.
Minus the 20 seconds. That went okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I am very tired after that. And
you should be refreshed.
Yeah, I need to be refreshed. My vocal cords, I'm so parched.
Oh, no.
So I think we need to go get... I got some Mexican craft beers for us tonight.
Ooh.
So yummy. I'm going to go to the fridge and go grab them right now. See you in a minute.
Yay.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
That's beautiful, Dave. Well done. Okay, so... I found a couple of... Uh-oh. Oh, no. Good pour. Well done, sir. You've done that before, haven't you?
Yes. Banana!
Banana. I found a couple of craft beers from Mexico. It took me, I went to the Beer Mecca, the Kenny Road Market
in Columbus. Kenny Road Market.
Oh my God, I love that place. We don't get paid for anything that we say about Kenny Road, but oh my God.
We don't get paid for anything.
Go to Kenny Road Market to get all of your beer supplies.
Wait a minute. Didn't like something dumb open up next to it, like some big Bud Light factory? Like,
oh?
No, like Kenny Road Market, that's, I want to say like a beer barn or something like that open up next to it.
Well, it's called the beer barn
it
now,
says
isn't it?
It says Beer Zone on beer it zone. Now. It's the same place, and they still have the same selection, same okay. incredible selection. So
it's the same place.
It's the same place. Okay, yeah, right.
they've got a flashier sign.
Yeah, they got a nice,
okay.
nice big
I thought
green
that, like,
sign
next
on
to this place that had this all this amazing beer. Like there's a place like here, buy all Bud Light here.
No. It just says Beer Zone now instead of Kenny Road okay. Market. So I don't know if
a competitor or something like that showed up right next to it.
They should go with our name. We call it the Beer Mecca.
Beer Mecca.
They should have.
I'm surprised they don't. Everyone refers to it as the Beer Mecca.
Everybody in our circle.
I was gonna say everybody we know.
Yeah.
And then anybody who didn't picks it up from us, but...
We spread it around like a cancer.
Mm-hmm.
This
I think that might be religiously insensitive if we called it the Beer Mecca.
Yeah.
Why?
Maybe not. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Religion is each person's own personal journey. My journey is to the Kenny Road Market.
I don't know. I guess I'm trying to imagine like, oh, this is the beer Wailing Wall or something like that. Like,
well,
oh,
but that's specific.
Maybe.
Everything can have a mecca.
That's true. That is true.
Let's talk about the beer.
Okay. not the beer shot of Turin. Or...
Exactly right.
See, now you're getting a little hazy.
The Ark of the Keganut?
Ark of the Kegerator.
I dropped that ball a little bit. I apologize. Yeah,
as I poured this beer, it was very banana-y.
You got that straight away in the nose, right?
Yes.
Yeah, very good. So this is a Hefeweizen.
Bananas in my nose.
Bananas
in my nose. That would be uncomfortable.
Have you seen Dave's nose? No, it's fine. It's a fine nose, Dave.
I might be able to fit like two bananas in my nose.
Oh my God. Dear listener, I am so sorry. I don't know what has gotten into these boys today.
Beer got into us.
Beer got into us.
They were like this before.
Day of the Dead. I'm trying to move this along. Here we go. Day of the Dead. Beer. It's called Day of the Dead Beer. The research I've done, it's a little ambiguous, but it seems to be that this is made by Grupo Modelo, which is... They do the vast majority of the beers from Mexico, including Modelo, Especial, Negro Modelo, Corona, Pacifico. It's all one
Dos
big
Equis.
Family. Dos Equis. It's all a big
that's Spanish
beer.
For two X's.
it's a big beer conglomerate. Is what it is. It's like SAB. SAB Miller and InBev is the mm-hmm. other one. So these are these giant beer conglomerates that buy up a lot of little breweries for variety and distribution ease. It's a curse and a blessing
right. That
Budweiser owns all these breweries, including things like Goose Island, surprisingly.
Right.
InBev owns Goose Island?
Budweiser bought Goose Island before InBev bought Budweiser.
Oh, so technically, okay.
So it's all wrapped up in
right.
So the blessing right. curse.
The blessing is more
right.
people get to have Goose Island beer. The curse is the fact that Goose Island is no longer locally owned and operated.
And there's usually some sort of a contract written up where you get our flagship beers, Honker's Ale in Goose Island's case, but Bourbon Barrel Stout. Is kept local and they still get this large distribution blanket versus struggling to get distributors to bring your beer out
right.
and about.
Pick them up and bring it out to pull
so,
more people for your product.
The blessing is you
the
get
worst.
A wider distribution era or footprint, I should say. The negative is that now you're part of the corporate machine. Whatever.
Working for the man.
Indeed.
The blessing. The blurs. I've been trying to make this work in my head. It's not working.
It's not.
The blessing curse.
Right.
So this Hefeweizen is... And a Hefeweizen That is a German, typically a German recipe. You'll hear about Hefeweizens, American Hefes. Wit beers are cousins of them. White beers, Belgians are all kissing cousins in this larger umbrella that is Hefeweizen. It's sometimes it's a light flavor, close to a lager flavor, or sometimes it's close to a Belgian beer, which incorporates cloves and bananas and all sorts of other kind of flavors.
So the banana was appropriate when I
smelled it. Yes, as you smelled and tasted banana here, this is very appropriate for one side or the other of a Hefeweizen. There are other Hefeweizens that have much more lagery, simpler.
Less banana,
more clear, more crisp flavor, where this is a sweeter, maltier thing, and the yeast will actually impart the banana.
That would be
flavor.
A Lessevicen.
Oh my god.
So it's the yeast that makes it banana-y?
That's what gives it, yeah, that the yeast will incorporate a lot of flavors in Belgians and wheat beers.
This is very clovey too. Mm-hmm. Give me a little.
You'll get some anise.
Spice
is a better word for it instead of anise. You don't want that black licorice, but you definitely get some sort of a pumpkin pie spice to it. Not pumpkin pie, but you get that Christmassy
pumpkin spice
to spice it. To it. Yeah. But yeah, pumpkin anise. Sorry, now punch and all.
Settle down. He said anise.
Right. I mean, we were talking about someone from Uranus in this movie too.
Right.
So.
I'm from your butthole. Wait, it doesn't work. Or does it?
No. Not for me. This is a 5.5. The beer is a 5.5 ABV. I do not have an IBU for it, so we can't put it up against the Geary, which do need to talk in a little bit about when you talk about the Geary.
All right.
Okay. Would you even file a Hefeweizen under something that would need to apply to the Geary?
No,
I don't typically feel that they're hobby.
Right. They're not.
I mean,
not.
I'm sure they have some in it, because I think, don't they all? But
yes, beer needs hops in it, regardless, because of the preservation value of the oils from the lupulin glands. But why don't we talk about the Geary right now?
Okay.
So Drury wrote up an amazing...
explanation.
Yes, expose about what the Geary is to this podcast. So if you take it away, Troy.
The Geary is quite simple, actually. It's 10% of the IBU if it matches the alcohol content. So the alcohol content is 8.8% and the IBUs are 80%, that's a Geary beer.
It would just be 80%.
Or not 80,
it'd just be
80,
right.
Yeah, because the IBU is, it's some kind of count, there's a chemical composition of, the oils from the hops that are inside of the beer. They can actually get some kind of a count. And a higher IBU usually means a hoppier taste to it.
Yes.
Not necessarily, though. Right, because Kathleen thinks it tastes like chewing on plants. But as any beer snob will tell me, for sure, it does not necessarily mean, a high IBU does not necessarily mean a super hoppy beer, because the alcohol content or the sweetness that because that's all based on the sugars that the yeast produces can change that
balance.
Ratio. Yeah, the balance. So the Geary says that 10% difference there is a good beer.
the Geary is the ultimate equation balance for a beer, where just as you said, an IBU, international bittering units, and you can argue really what that means. We're not going to argue what really that is supposed to mean, but there is a chemically you can test a beer for the amount of lupulin oils per million
gallons,
I don't know what it is, but you can test sort of exactly how many IBUs is in it, and the higher the IBU, the more bitter it's going to be. But if you balance it out, as the Geary suggests, by putting more malt in there, that will sweeten the beer to balance out the hop.
Yes.
So if you were to take out some of that malt, that hop will be undrinkable to some people.
Right, because what we've said is a Geary beer is a beer that is balanced so that people that don't necessarily like hops will still enjoy that beer.
Mm-hmm.
And people that do like hops will enjoy that beer. It is a very well-balanced, good beer, usually.
And the whole thing comes from, Pete has a buddy named Gary.
Oh, yeah.
And it is his theory, after many years of drinking all different kinds of beers and things. And Gary prefers a maltier kind of beer. He's not a hop head, per se. He will turn away from something if it's handed to him and it's like, oh, this is super hoppy. He'll be like, that's really not for me. But in testing things out over the years, he sort of developed this theory where he'll at least look ABV versus IBU and see if it kind of matches this algorithm. And if it does, then he'll give it a shot. So Pete first shared this with me probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 months ago, and I was like, all right, well, let's try that. I like that idea, and have consistently found it to be pretty true. We were on vacation in Florida for spring break and purposely bought several local Floridian beers just to try that out.
Was that Cigar City? You guys were down.
We did Cigar City. Okay. We did, I can't even remember what they all were. We went to this fun little shop that had whole bunch. It had a whole bunch of random...
County Road Market, Florida.
Well, division. No, because it was like a sporting good, like...
Sporting good? Yeah,
like sitting on the boat, fishing. They had life bait. They had like shirts to wear to keep you from getting too sunburned.
Okay, so it's not like lacrosse equipment.
That's what I was picturing first.
Catcher's mitts and hockey sticks.
I should be fine. We were on a small island off the coast of Florida, so everything revolves around fish down there.
But in the back, there was some nice lady at a desk.
Yeah, essentially they just put in a little bar, and this lady would talk about all the different beers that they had, but they carried all Florida originals. And so we were asking her questions and, you know, we tried a few things. And there were some things that definitely fit the theory, but were still terrible beers because that can just happen. You know what I mean? And then there were some that were kind of off from the theory, but were still really good beers. So
just because you're balanced doesn't mean it's a good beer.
Right, exactly. You can fit the theory and still taste like crap.
Well, I'm enjoying this beer. I like it. It's right up. It is certainly a closer to a Belgian Hefeweizen than maybe a wheat beer Hefeweizen. Because this scale is all over the place. It's hard to lock it down to exactly what it's supposed to taste like. It's not like a lager, because lagers taste like lagers, and that's about it, man. Where Hefeweizen has a rainbow of flavors that it could have. Right. And if you look in the BJCP style guide, it was a laundry list of flavors that could be in there or maybe not be in there.
So it could be like bubblegum and bananas and spice and clove. Because this is certainly a lot more complex than your average lager.
Certainly.
The carbonation's a lot tighter and it feels like creamier. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if people like stuff like Blue Moon, which is a very accessible wheat beer, they would probably like this.
Yes, agreed. This is you start somebody off with the Blue Moon, and then you work them into this beer, and then hook the needle up to the vein, man.
Yeah. I like
a gateway drug, I suppose, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm. I really like a Hefeweizen. I don't like them if they're super over banana-y, but sometimes that's more about the smell than the taste. Like, if I can smell banana right away, then it's like, oh, I'm not going to like this. Mm. But if the smell isn't there, but there's just kind of a mild flavor, then it's like, oh, yeah, okay, this is pretty good. Mm.
And I think most the good ones have a natural banana flavor, whereas an artificial banana, like a Runt.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Sometimes that banana smells like Runt's candy.
That's not good.
Yes, that's so funny that you say that, because that's exactly what I was thinking.
That's actually, Donna and I were just talking about that. Like, we both like bananas, but artificial banana flavored candy or medicine or gum or whatever is disgusting.
And it tastes nothing like bananas.
No, like there's like Runts or whatever like that. Just that exact example. Like all the other stuff tastes like fruit flavored candy except for the bananas, which tastes like ass flavored candy.
Right, and nobody eats them. I don't know why they keep making those little bananas.
Because somebody's eating them, for heaven's sake.
I don't know who it is.
I don't know who it is either.
It's probably just like one old guy.
Somewhere. It's probably my dad as he's driving trucks around.
Right.
I do it.
You like
it.
You're the one guy.
I'm sorry.
Troy.
Letting us down.
What other old person candy you like?
Like blackjack bubblegum.
Yeah, exactly. I can't come up with any of them. Damn it.
Like black licorice.
I love those.
Whorehound candy or something like that.
Whorehound candy. Necco wafers.
Gross. Brocks. Anything Brock.
I like Smarties, but I don't like Necco. Gross.
Those are way different.
Oh, yeah.
They're that powdery, pressed powder candy.
Smarties are
real sweet.
Yeah.
Necco wafers break your teeth before you even get any flavor.
Yeah, Necco wafers are like stale Smarties.
Yeah.
Stale flat.
What Necco wafers remind me of is the Tums chewables. Tums chewables. They're flat and larger.
Pressed and
compressed. Yeah. It's Depression era candy, man.
All right, let's get off the candy. Man.
Why, what are we doing?
We got a movie to talk about.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Yeah.
This movie that I couldn't decide whether it was science fiction. No, wait, it's a Western. No, wait, it's a vampire movie.
Oh, no, wait, it's a musical. It's a
musical.
Wait. Oh, man, this movie was so much fun. It was so much fun. It's so silly. It's so ridiculous. It's all practical effects. It's 1960. It's black and white. I'm going to gush over it. Kathleen, it looks like you didn't enjoy this as much.
You know.
Or did you?
Did you stay awake through it first?
Oh, good question.
I did stay awake. Ooh, we were.
For the most part.
Well.
There was one part where she was watching it with her eyes closed.
And I had to like work well
bump
when
her and she's
so
like,
yeah.
No, it doesn't at all, does it?
I don't know, honey. I'm listening to it. I'm like, it's in Spanish, honey. I know you don't speak Spanish.
Yeah. I can hear it, but yeah. This is when we watched most of it, and then you called it, and we went to bed, right? Yeah. So we started watching it, and we watched all but, like, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes of it. And Trevor's like, I'm too tired, mer. And all of a sudden, he, like, just stops the movie, and I was like, wait, are you just going to go to sleep? That's what I always do. He's like, yeah, upstairs. We'll finish it tomorrow. I was like, oh, okay. So the next day, we watched the last, like, half hour of it, and it's just been one of those days, and it's like, I'd gotten the whole gist of the movie. I could see where it was going. I just didn't have to focus on it anymore. And I'll be honest, like...
Because that's why Kathleen watches movies. She just needs to get the gist. And then she's like, okay, I'm done.
Most of these, I think...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What's the bare minimum I have to pay attention to? Stop.
I know we talked in the last movie that we did, because it was dubbed. And I said, I wondered if the zombie soda pop movie, if it had been.
Oh yeah.
Dave's looking at me like, what are you talking about?
That one was dubbed,
and so I made the comment when we were talking that time. I almost wondered if it could have, like, we could have found a subtitled version of it, if the story would be the same. Well, this one is subtitled, and I found what was really frustrating with that for this purpose is I had to keep stopping the movie so I could write stuff down, because you can't look down and write because you're missing the whole movie because you don't speak Spanish, and so you can't just listen to it and comprehend what's going on. You have to actually read the movie. So I was tired of reading, and I dozed for like 3 seconds, but I knew what was happening. There was still the same fight scene happening when I opened my eyes as when I closed them. So, but there were several actual things that I enjoyed about this movie.
Oh, okay.
But one of the things that I was super annoyed with right away from the beginning is, why the fuck are these girls in swimsuits? Why are they in bathing suits?
It's not for us to judge the cultures of other planets.
Dave. I agree. If they want to wear swimsuits, then I want them to wear swimsuits.
Except that doesn't really hold water, because what this really is sort of...
I'll tell you why they're in swimsuits. Planet.
I know.
I'll tell you why. You want to know why?
Why, Pete?
Because Gamma, Anna Bertha Lepe, was third place... Or first place, Miss Mexico, 1953. And third place, Miss Universe, 1953.
Well deserved.
Where Beta Loriana Velasquez, who also played Farina in Santos versus the Vampire Women.
Oh, it all comes together.
It all circles back, baby. Yeah. 1 year ago. She took first place Miss Mexico in 1960. So these gals were
beauty queens.
Legitimate beauty queens.
Okay.
And they were gorgeous. Yeah, these gals were beautiful.
Hands down, totally agree. Absolutely beautiful women. Totally beautiful women. But for fuck's sake, they didn't have to be married. I mean,
I don't think these movies are made for you, Kathleen.
I've been saying that from this podcast. I've been saying that since we were at Gallows talking about the idea of this podcast.
You signed up.
I really didn't.
While I enjoy the fact that these women were half naked most, if not the entire movie, I do get
why.
Why would they have to be? But then, I mean, why does it have to be a rubber brain monster with its head get deflated?
Oh my god, that was awful.
That was so icky.
It was
pretty gross.
It was icky.
Yeah, for a movie that's not icky, I was like, well, oh, there's the gore budget right there.
Kid
shoots the slingshot and it like pops the eye, the whole big brain deflates, and then it just like spooges pudding out the front. I was like, what is that?
That's, I hollered like, yes, that's great. Oh my god, I love that.
Poor Tawal, Prince of Mars.
Is that his name?
That was
Craig. Oh no, that's the name I gave him.
Yeah, I written down Tawal, Prince of Mars. Yes, he was big brain guy. Ook. King of the Fire Planet.
The Cyclops.
He's the Cyclops.
Yeah.
Crassus of the Red Planet was the spider thing.
Oh, yeah. I called him Fuzzy Bug.
And Bone Guy. Never got his
name. Bone Guy didn't have a name. And Bone Guy disappeared at the end of the movie.
Yeah, he didn't even show up for the end fight.
Yeah, he was too busy boning
women.
Well, right. You said that in the synopsis. Did he really say that in the movie and I just missed it?
No,
like, I remember her assigning everybody stuff, but did she really assign him to, like,
the women.
Take care of the women?
Yes. He was assigned to kill all the women, or, as in the synopsis, to bone them.
Yes. Well, there you go. There definitely was a shortage of women in this town, so...
Yeah,
there was no other women in the movie, except for our two girls.
True. Oh, but none of those women go to that cantina. You wouldn't go there.
But there wasn't a mom for...
Chewie?
Right.
So...
It's funny. What was this cowboy's name? Lorento?
Loriano.
Loriano.
I just called him Steve.
You know what?
Can we call him Lon? Lon and Chewie?
I think Lon...
I don't get it.
I mean, like... If Lon was by himself, he'd be Lon Solo and Chewie.
Oh,
Man. Oh, wow.
Man.
It would have been funnier, but Kathleen had to have it explained.
Well, that's because I didn't get it. It was bad.
Keep swinging for the fences, guys.
Yeah.
But I'm going back to my first point, like,
well, oh.
I knew that this was supposed to be like a ship of monsters. I do have those from time to time.
I was more that I didn't realize we had cut you off.
Oh, no, we didn't. I mean, it was a natural progression of whatever.
Okay.
I do. Like, the movie is called Ship of Monsters.
Correct.
And it starts off in a spaceship, and then it was a Western, and then it was... You find out later why it's a ship of monsters. No, you find out pretty straight away.
Right away.
It's a ship full of monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And then, out of left field, it suddenly becomes a... Vampire.
Vampire thing was shocking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was singing.
So it's girls in space going to look for boys. Mm-hmm. Then it's a Western because here's the Mexican guy going along on his horse, and he's whistling, and like right away Troy's like, oh my god, he's gonna sing, and he was like, he started whistling, he's gonna sing, and I was like, what? Oh my god, he's singing!
Yep.
Like, so then he starts singing. And then the ship lands, and then the ship is full of monsters, so it's a monster movie. And then the vampire curveball, which was like,
the anus vampire. Your anus vampire.
Not mine.
My anus vampire.
So it did certainly take several turns. Yulava. Oh, hello.
Sorry.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'll talk to you later, Mom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, take that, Mom. I'm gonna F this up. Ulalo,
Ulalo not gonna work here anymore.
Ulalo not gonna pronounce his name. Gonzalez, who played Laureano, wrote all the music. He is a singing comedian.
Yeah, he's a famous singing comedian,
and you can look him up on YouTube if I would pronounce it right. And you could
as a matter of fact, I did, and he is funny.
Yes,
he's actually his performance in this movie was funny.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, his performance was very funny.
He's super charming in this movie.
Yes, and it's slapsticky.
I would take him back to Uranus as well.
Not mine.
You take him back to Uranus.
I'll show him my wait. So that was the musical part of it. I think as Abbott and Costello were used for their comedic skills in the Universal Monsters, this guy was used for his musical and comedic talents for this film.
Yes. And he did have some really funny lines in this movie. He said, I'm trying to scan through my notes and find, well, when he first encounters the girls, he talks to them for a few minutes. They freeze Ray.
Men in Black.
Yeah. Right, they totally.
Yeah, they freeze him so they can talk amongst themselves.
Right, they freeze him, talk amongst themselves. They unfreeze him. They talk to him again a little bit more. They freeze him again, and then they leave. And, like, it's very easy to be brought out of this frozen state.
Weirdly.
As soon as something touches you. Because, like, a leaf, like, fluttered down and, like, touched him or whatever, and he, like, came out of it. And he's, like, looking around, and they're not there. And he makes some kind of comment about how, like, wow, have I told so many lies that I'm now lying to myself? It's like I'm lying in bulk. And I was like, what did you just say? Like, it was funny.
It was actually, because I think I've seen before that. He was, like, wishing on a star or something like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then the next scene, those two girls appear. Like, wow, I only wished for one, but...
Yeah, but now he's...
Right. Well, and, like, when he's telling his big tall tale in the bar, he starts talking about, first he was fighting with some sort of deer, and then it becomes a bear.
Mm.
But then they're like, a bear with blue eyes? And he was like, well, it was a French bear. And I was like, a French bear?
What
is happening?
Oh, yeah, those stories were great. Like,
they were hysterical.
I love that there was a guy that... Two guys were attacking. He only had one bullet left, so he held his knife up in front of his gun and shot it, so it split the bullet. I was like, yes, that is beautiful. That's a great story.
Yes.
When he was having a conversation...
I swear to God, guys, the prostitute gave me my money back.
When he was talking to Beta and Gamma... at his home, that when they were talking about marriage.
Oh, yes.
One, I forget which one of the ladies asked him, do you need permission for marriage?
And, oh, yeah, because he explained the whole concept of a wedding.
The wedding, and said, like, well, do you need permission for this? I was like, well, you can do it without permission, but it's frowned upon. these little Popeye quips where it's just kind of set under the...
Yeah, kind of
under the radar, under his breath. Well, yeah, I suppose you can.
Absolutely.
Tor the robot walks in, and he's walking towards Chewie, and Chewie's like, ah! And the girls are like, don't worry, he likes kids. And he just goes, oh, yeah, rawr cooked.
Yeah, exactly. Or he tries to fight with Tor the robot, and he says, pick on somebody your own size. And so Tor, like, turns towards him, and he's like, no, somebody your own size. Like, this is still not me.
I'm not big as you. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It was fast. It was such a fast comedic. You had to. I rewound it several times. Rewound it.
There's lots of jokes. Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. It was a delight. I thought it hit on the comedic level a lot, and I also thought on the sci-fi part it was very silly. I mean, it was very 1960s.
Yeah.
This was before we ever launched into outer space. I mean, we didn't know a whole lot about any of that.
Well, right.
To a large degree. We didn't, because we hadn't actually gotten up there yet.
Right. So, which is why the rockets both fire and fly straight up and then land straight back down.
Yeah.
I know they could do that now, but they definitely couldn't do that back then.
Not so much.
No, technically there are no manned space flights yet. I mean, a Sputnik had already flown around looking.
Right.
But, sorry.
It was the early infancy of space exploration.
Right, it was the beginning. Right.
Which is why there were so many movies like this being made by the world.
Mm-hmm.
And just the sci-fi part was so much fun, and all the ridiculous interior of that spaceship.
Yes.
The Xbox controller that she had did everything.
Everything! I know! That thing is the controlled best reception. Controlled the robot. She literally can FaceTime Venus from that
right,
thing. Like,
right.
I was like, the is magic that on video my plan? Box, right. I don't think that's on my plan. Yes. Well, and like, when we first see Tor the robot, he was, and I kind of had a question about this too. When we first see him, I was like, whoa, Danger Will Robinson. Like, totally looks like the robot from that, because he's got the big, long, spongy arms. Was he one of the males they had captured from another planet? Because he talks about his planet having been affected by this atomic issue that wiped out all the men. But before that happened, they downloaded all of their knowledge.
Yeah.
Into him, which is why he has a nice big old mansplaining scene at the beginning of the movie as to what Earth is. And I was like, really? Fuck. Even the robot is mansplaining. Jesus.
Well, the girls didn't. They needed directions. They didn't know where they were going.
The look. Folks, you're missing the evil eye. The stank eye that Troy
just showed. The ship was having issues, for sure, and they needed to address that, but they didn't need directions. They
didn't
could
know
see
if they could go to this planet, this weird planet. It's next door to Venus, let's be honest. Like, how is it that they don't know who Earth is?
Right.
But, like, the red planet and the fire planet, they're down. They understand
they
where that is.
Just go the other direction. I mean, what's the problem?
Well, but luckily they had Tor, and the men of his planet had put all the knowledge in his brain so that the men knowledge could get them to Earth, and then the girls...
Oh my god, dude, just dig in the grave, dude.
No, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I mean, yes, he did have to tell them, we need to land, there's a problem with the ship.
Right.
But they could see the big fucking ball of Earth, and they were headed there just fine. They didn't need directions.
The left engine.
Oh my god. Should we take a break?
I said the ship was broken. I'm gonna break something on you.
I'm so nervous.
I'm giddy with anticipation. From what I understood, Troy.
Yes, Troy.
Sorry, mm-hmm. Troy was picked up on some derelict planet. No one wanted him.
This is something breaking very true.
Tor, what was an acquisition because they didn't. He didn't leave from Venus with
right, that's
Gamma
what
and Beta.
I thought.
Yeah, so
he was one of the monsters on the ship of monsters.
He's sort of, but I mean, he wasn't really a monster because it wasn't a man, like,
right,
a reproductive sort of
man.
He was definitely collected,
though.
The purpose
in collecting these men was to
mate with them,
potentially continue
their
species, right?
So that means sex
for robot.
People
to maybe possibly procreate with it?
Or just, you know, vibrators, because look at these guys, what they found.
Right.
Hey, all the pleasure, none of the complication.
Something I never thought of. My God.
Well, I mean, like, because their choices are Tor, Tawal, Ook, and Crassus. I mean, like, and what's the bone guy? Well, I guess the bone.
Bone.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well. But, like, none of these guys are.
Yeah, they're not exactly catches because, like, hey, I can imagine them actually talking to one each other, like to one another, saying, "Okay, so which one do you want? Do you want the spider guy or the big brain guy or the huge gorilla cyclops? The bone guy or the robot? Like robot, I'll take the robot."
Yep.
Yeah, I sort of have a feeling that had these been the species that the ladies came home with, that there wouldn't have been a lot of direct contact.
Mm-hmm.
In continuing their own
like
species. Especially because the dude from Mars flat out tells...
You look like shit.
One of them that she's ugly.
Beta,
right?
He tells Beta she's ugly.
Yeah.
You don't have the
like,
red
you know,
fire of Martian
right,
women
and they started
something.
Down their plan of taking over Earth. He's giving her a lovely backhanded compliment of, wow... I am attracted to you. You are smart. You are this, you are that, even though you're so ugly. Yes.
Which I guess was like the gag, because she is obviously beautiful.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And he's a giant, gross brain-looking thing.
Although Beta did kind of get around a little bit. I mean, toward the end of the film, there was a weird dance scene on the spaceship where she kind of danced with this one and danced with that one and danced over here, suggesting that maybe had things gone any further, that she would have danced with this one and danced with that one.
I saw that more as her using her feminine wiles to control get what she wanted.
Yeah, sure.
And not necessarily... Mm-hmm. Give them anything.
But she was ugly to at least Craig or
Towel.
Yes.
The Martian Prince.
That was it. I only can get these things because they're in the subtitles.
Yes.
You can literally pause and be like, okay, that's.
Yeah. I gave him bogus names.
Yeah.
Craig. Yes.
Grizzler.
Oh, yeah. I just called them by what they look like. Furry bug guy, bone guy, big brain guy.
Jim.
Yeah, I thought he looked like a gem.
Rob.
Yeah. I mean, even Laureano, the movie was almost over by the time I caught his name, and even then I thought it was Lorento, so he was just cowboy in all of my own.
His name was misspelled and mispronounced a number of times in the subtitles, on IMDb, on Wikipedia, and in my own head.
Well, that's where the biggest problem is.
Well, it's not much going on up there.
So, I mean... I don't know how well this movie did in Mexico in 1960. Does anybody know? It had a big name in it. I mean, they had two
beauty queens
in it. I'm assuming it did pretty well, or at least is pretty well known in Mexico. I mean, if you look back to movies in America at the time, it would have been like They, Them, It, like those sort of atomic monster stuff. You know, Invasion of the Body Snatchers would have been pretty close thereabouts. So, I mean, was it kind of riding the same sort of...
I don't know about 1960, but it's been uploaded on YouTube since August of 2011 and has 300,590 views. And I figure only like 10 of them are Pete, so...
You know. So some of these are interesting.
Right.
Maybe just 300 Petes?
Watching
it 1,000 times each.
Oh dear God!
1,000 Pete's watching it 300 times each.
There you go.
I'm struggling to find it. But I remember noticing that there. I couldn't find a budget, but I had a box office for it, and I'm not doing a very good job of finding any of those. So it's not. If I don't have a budget. It's hard to say
how much money did well or didn't do well.
But it's a in Mexican monster circles, in monster kiddom, this is a movie that is...
It's popular. People like it.
It is. And it is suggested. If you want to go see a Mexican monster movie, the Santos films and this one are always at the top of the list.
Nice.
So this one is, if you want to see a good, silly, ridiculous Mexican monster movie, this one is one to see, always.
Agreed.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll buy it. I mean, the Santos movies that we saw, Santos and the Vampire Women.
Yes.
Versus
the Vampire Women.
Saying it was, like, unenjoyable.
And there were some good special effects in it, too. I mean, there was some gory stuff going on in there.
So, yeah, there were some scary moments.
I would agree.
The horrible, dry, flaky vampire ladies.
Mm-hmm.
That was really scary.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It was good. The very beginning when she rose from the grave for the very first time, she was all flaked out. It's like, ugh.
This dude bursting into flames when he sees the
boss. Is that the movie where they've been asleep in the castle?
Yeah.
Yes.
Adjacent to the other town?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, there were definitely some decent gore jumpy moments in that movie, but...
For whatever, 1961.
Right, totally.
And in Mexico, not in Hollywood.
Right.
I mean, you're talking, in 1960, even Hollywood would have had some sort of a better budget, but these guys are on, you know...
Shoestrings.
Exactly. And not, in my opinion, knocking it out with the silliness and entertainment value.
Right.
I can see this movie being a really popular movie, not just a cult movie, but, like, something that people look back on with fondness, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I mean, I guess technically it's a cult movie, but, like, it's still talked about. I mean, it's still watched on a relatively regular basis.
That's a fairly big cult.
Yeah.
Bayesian's body slam, that's a classic.
Classic, thank you. Like something that people come back to.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I feel like this might be a Mexican classic.
In its genre? I think so, yes.
Right, okay.
In its genre, in its little slice of monsterhood, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it definitely is way up there on the charts of silly, enjoyable monster movies from the 60s.
I guess I'm trying to find an American analog to this movie. Like, something...
Them?
But, I mean, like, something even more popular, more mainstream. Like, not even necessarily from the 60s, but, like, the 70s, or, like, would it have been as popular as, say, The Shining was in 1980? Or
American Werewolf.
Or something like that.
I think we're talking apples and oranges here. I don't know if that's...
You don't think there's like an American
fair
comparison?
I think you have to stay in the same time frame to find the right comparison.
So,
in the same technological time frame also, and the same writing style.
That's what I mean.
You can't take Kubrick and say, hey, look, this is like a Kubrick, because it's not.
Right. Well,
right.
Okay. So like a them or they, or even, oh wait.
Tarantula maybe, like a John Agar film. Like all those... monster movies, the atomic monster movies from the 50s.
It came from another planet, or even like
maybe Forbidden Planet. Maybe
it was a teenage werewolf or something like that.
Well, you're going back a little ways, but okay, I can
round Michael Landon. Like, mm-hmm. I remember watching this as a kid.
So. Mm-hmm.
Teenage werewolf, jeez.
But yeah, that's that drive-through. Drive-through.
Drive-through.
It's a drive-through movie. It's like, hey, there it goes. This is totally a drive-in film where maybe, as you're going, The Shining it certainly was seen in the drive-ins. However, I think it eclipses classic status, where this one is something you go in. I mean, I suppose you could call this kind of a Godzilla film. Where, not that sci-fi, certainly not. Well, yeah, it was rubber monsters.
Hey man, I would watch
monsters.
A Godzilla movie if you started singing.
Yeah,
I can introduce you to that movie.
I'm sure you can. Godzilla.
Of course you can. A singing Godzilla.
Well, Godzilla wasn't singing.
Yeah, hello my baby.
All right. Let's on that note, let's go grab our second beer, and then round the episode out. Oh my God, can somebody please save me?
Let's go have a drink.
Let's go have a drink.
Please,
all right, guys.
Please, beer, please.
It's time for beer.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip. Orange whip. Three orange whips.
Hit it, Dave. Oh,
okay, there it goes.
Normally, this would be the moment where I would say, beer me! But you picked a porter.
Oh.
So I'm going to say, I'll have a sip of yours.
Have a sip.
Chocolate. Oh, yeah. No.
What is it about? And
it's the coffee flavor.
Oh, okay. So you're not a coffee drinker?
I drink one coffee drink, and it is the iced cappuccino.
Oh, wow.
From Tim Hortons that probably has probably not even an ounce of coffee in it.
Yeah.
And it's all
you have
cream
one
and
shot
ice
of espresso and cream, mm-hmm. ice and chocolate syrup, right?
There's no chocolate syrup in it. I don't get it chocolatey,
vanilla.
So
well, that's okay.
Shot of vanilla.
Because you don't like something doesn't mean somebody else isn't gonna like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad.
Totally.
It's just not your thing.
Totally. It's just
and that's
not
fine.
My thing.
Like, I'm not a big fan of sours.
Ooh,
you,
I love a sour.
Oh, there you go.
You picked the exact right example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not a big fan. Most of the sours I find offensive.
And sours are actually becoming more fashionable.
They are super fashionable.
Popular right now.
Very, very.
Which I'm excited for because it's summertime and that's when they all come out. Mama gets hammered in the summer.
Because you're not working, for one thing.
It's time for sour, here's, bitches.
That's right.
Ooh, don't kick the table, Pete. Okay.
This beer is the opposite of sour.
Yes.
So, again, from Grupo Modelo, Cerveza de la Muertas. This is Pay the Ferryman Porter.
Yes. The bottles are beautiful. I love the artwork on both this one and the other one.
Yes.
The freaking bottle caps rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the bottle caps like have the Calaveras de Azucar.
Yes. Sorry.
Sugar Skull.
Yes. Yeah. Sugar Skull. Azucar.
They're very decorative. They're
stylized. They're
complex.
Evil as skulls and
I just skeletons right and
bones.
It's okay.
Dick. Gatley's going back to her Hefeweizen or whatever. Oh no, Holy Moses.
Holy Moses from.
So we're back to the porter. So porters, I love me a porter. It's hard for me not to enjoy a porter. I don't know what that means.
It means you like porters.
I love them. This one is, I find it excellent. It's got a nice coffee to it, which I really enjoy coffee and porter. It's got a little too much chocolate in it for me to go, this thing is the bomb. Mm. But that's me. I prefer a little more coffee than chocolate in my porter. And they're, like Young's double chocolate. That's more of a stout, though.
Right.
There are lots of porters out there that lean toward the malt and chocolate than I prefer. Mm. I like it much more dry and rich than I do milk chocolatey.
But what is it roasted? I mean, is that what makes it chocolatey coffee? Like, what is it? I mean, what makes it have that flavor?
The malt, as it's processed, is roasted to a certain degree. You still have a straight up base malt, but you add roasted malt on top of it, and depending upon how long it's malted, you have crystal malt, you have chocolate malt, and you have black patent malt.
So what is malt exactly? Malted
barley, exactly.
And malted barley is what, germinated barley?
It is germinated to a degree, and then the germination is stopped so that the sugars,
is it stopped by roasting it?
Yes. Okay. So the malt as a grain is introduced to water
and
warmth. And then when it sprouts, it is stopped by pulling it off of the water and roasting it. And that roasting has, as it sprouts, that means the sugars in the grain have changed from whatever to whatever. Whatever to sugar. Potential sugar to sugar. And that sugar can be extracted through the brewing process,
and then used, and then yeast is added to convert the sugar to alcohol.
Correct. There's a lot of steps, but yes, that's how it goes.
The reason I ask is whiskey. I'm a big whiskey fan, and whiskey is made the same way. Like you take malted grain of some kind. Well, you take malted grain, so it's you take grain and
corn.
You soak it until it starts germinating, starts sprouting, and then you somehow stop the process. And with Scotch, with a lot of Scotches, like especially I love. Malts, you stop the germination process by smoking it over peat moss.
Correct.
And so the
it's kilning. It's all those malts are kilned to a degree, depending upon what you're looking for.
Right.
Whether it's over oak chips or peat moss or whatever. And
that guano.
Wow.
Oh, I hope not.
Llama droppings. I'm thinking of South America, like what are used as fire sources. Llama.
I really hope not bad guano.
I just got
regardless.
That. Oh, okay, good. Because, like, too much exposure to that literally makes you crazy. It's where the phrase batshit crazy comes from. Legit.
I did not know that. Yeah.
I did not know that either, actually. That's awesome.
No, that's totally true. Bat guano, like, people who've, like, gone into, like, caves that are, like, big-time homes for massive amounts of bats. It's like an illness. You get like infected with something, and if it's not dealt with, you end up fucking crazy. So
thank God that you're
shit crazy.
Right? Can you imagine? I am a wealth of knowledge over here.
It's terrifying.
That legitimately makes me quite happy to know that term came from people going crazy because of feces.
Why isn't it cow crap crazy?
Yeah. It doesn't do the same thing.
Yeah, apparently. Well, because. Millions of Americans who have cows and don't go crazy.
Mm-hmm. The West was settled and people kept alive due to burning cow pats and buffalo chips.
That is true.
Wealth of knowledge. Great.
I'm telling you.
We'll talk about this beer. So.
I have nothing to say right now because I don't like this beer. So I'm going to talk to you about
this conversation elsewhere.
But it is chocolatey and chocolate.
It is. It's got a little milk chocolate, maybe Baker's chocolate. Not so much. Somewhere in between. Because you can get a Baker's chocolate and that's dry as
fuck. Oh, yeah, that's off. Real, but there's no sugar.
Yeah, there. None. You're just like, oh. But this is a little milky.
Yeah, how are you?
You ever see those videos of kids getting trying a Baker's chocolate?
Oh, no.
You should do that because I don't know what it is about.
Jimmy Kimmel put them up to that because that man.
That sounds like a Jimmy Kimmel thing, yeah.
I don't know what it is. It makes me a bad person, honestly, because every time I see little kids try something and then get really disappointed and sad about it, it makes me laugh.
That says all you need to know about Dave.
Like someday you too will tell your child that you ate all their Halloween candy so you can be on Jimmy.
No, that's cruel. I don't want to damage them. Like, I don't want to have a situation where I just want them disappointed. I just want them to be just kind of overall sad for the rest of their lives.
Oh my God.
No, I don't want to be in a position where I just, like, I realize that if I'm lucky enough to have children, at some point I'm going to stare at them like, oh, shit, well, that's permanent. And then I'm going to keep those moments down to a minimum.
My friend Denise says that every time you have a moment like that, you should put a 20 away for a future therapy.
But none of these videos, they have children trying like dark chocolate, like really bitter dark chocolate for the first time, or Baker's chocolate. You can see them get so excited and some just cram the whole thing in their face.
Yeah!
And you see that their face drop, and like you can see they want to cry because they're like really disappointed. Or
it kind of tastes like chocolate, but not really. Oh,
Baker's like chocolate does betrayal. Not taste anything like chocolate.
Tastes like betrayal.
Yeah.
I used Baker's chocolate in a stout once. And it turned out really nice.
Yeah.
But
because
I wasn't...
no sugar in it.
Yeah, there was no sugar. Yeah. I wasn't looking for the extra sugar.
Right,
and I didn't
right.
want it overly sweet. Man, it turned out nice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's hilarious, though. You guys are twisted. I think you're laughing so hard about this.
It tastes like betrayal. This is my favorite line ever.
I'm laughing at the sad children. You get so mad about those Kimmel videos.
I do. I hate them. I'm like, that's so mean.
See,
I don't like poor kids.
I don't want to be mean to kids. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to hurt their feelings. But I don't feel bad if, like, through, like, experimentation with food, they happen upon something and in their exuberance maybe learn something new.
You turn them off of chocolate.
Here's a jalapeno.
No, it's a learning process. Like, your parents
My dad did that to me.
Wait, too.
He didn't do it with a jalapeno. He did it with crushed red peppers.
Yep.
And he was like, oh, you need to try this. So he held out, like, those little red, like, crushed red peppers
right.
that people sprinkle on pizza or whatever.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, it's really good. And I was like, okay. So I, like, picked some up off of his hand and popped them in my mouth. And I was like, oh, what are you doing? Like, I was destroyed.
It's not shocking that your dad and my dad are the same person.
Oh,
Because
no.
that's exactly what my father did to me at Pizza Hut.
And then he laughed.
Uh-huh.
I was so
yeah.
funny.
Oh, shit.
Well, so actually, my parents were eating jalapenos, and my 4-year-old self really wanted one. I saw them eating it. It looked delicious.
Sure.
And they told me, you shouldn't have this. You're not going to like it. It's very spicy. And I didn't listen, of course. I'm like, I just want it. So they let me try a little piece of one. And...
Totally. I have a friend who tells a story about going out to dinner with his parents when he was little. And they were at a very fancy restaurant that had a bowls of butter sitting in the middle.
Yeah.
And it was like scooped out with like an ice cream scoop. So he was convinced it was like vanilla ice cream sitting on the table. And he wanted it so bad, but he threw such a fit when they were like, no, like he wouldn't believe. They were like, no, it's butter. No, it's not ice cream. It's butter. He wouldn't believe them. So they made him leave the table and go sit in the car. I was like, I'd have given you a big old spoonful
of butter.
You're
darn right. Here.
I told you that's not what you want. Like, I think there's a difference between that and here, taste this delicious chocolate.
Do you want some ice cream?
Yeah. Right. I swear you'll like this.
Yeah, I don't believe in fooling children, but I do believe in letting them learn and laughing at their learning experience.
Totally.
Like the kid who eats a mouthful of hot peppers learns not to eat a mouthful of hot peppers.
Right.
I mean, that's a learning experience. And if I managed to
get a natural consequences. I'm a big believer in this.
You're an educator is what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, I learned that when my uncle tells me to smell his finger, don't smell it.
I don't eat
that. He didn't stick his finger in his butt. Chances are there was something gross on it.
Oh my God, can we get back to the movie?
Yes, let's get back to the movie.
It's
so
a good
I enjoy the porter. Yummy, let's go to the movie. Poor Dave tells anyone stars that we don't hear.
Like, you like my stories?
No, I love them, sir.
One time I was upstairs and I farted and it sounded like somebody opened the door to a haunted house.
Like you opened the TARDIS or something?
Damn it. Alright.
I like this movie. Let's rate it.
Let's rate it. Okay, so we have our six-pack ratings, guys. Do I need to read this? Troy has taken out.
I can read it.
Do I have it here? Yeah, you read it, Dave. I'm done. My lips can't take it anymore. I'm not sure how this is going to get edited out. There's got to be a way to...
I think you should stop or you should cut it right before the my uncle finger. Wherever it is that Troy pulls his shit together over here.
No, no. Uncle,
one of these days,
Uncle Finger stays in.
Uncle Finger.
Like you broke him again.
That actually sounds like a pretty good name for a band.
My Uncle's Finger?
No, Uncle Finger and the Haunted House Butt. Okay, we need to wrap this up.
We do.
Rating. All right. Okay, so our rating system is unique in that we judge a movie on how drunk we have to be and enjoy it. One beer means you liked it and you didn't need to be drunk, whereas six beers means you needed to be shit out to like it or to suffer through it. So, I would like to have Pete, since you normally never start us off with six-pack ratings, on a scale of zero beers to six beers, how would you rate this movie?
Oh, this is a one for me. I love this movie so much. It ticks off all the boxes. So we have beautiful women. We have men in rubber suits, or people in rubber suits. We have drinking. We have skeleton cows.
Oh my God, that was a hilarious
movie. Oh my God, skeleton cow. As Ook. Sucked all of the living flesh off of the cow, and the cow was still standing.
Yes. It's not a pile of bones.
No,
it's right. A skeleton.
It's an actual skeleton
standing
up.
Like you would see in a museum.
It was, I loved everything about this movie. The quippy jokes, the nonsensical Xbox
singing?
Controller, the random singing. Let me explain this to you.
Science.
In song. This is more of a musical than The Last Dragon ever was, and The Last Dragon in the TV Guide was called a musical.
Well, it is Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
I'm sure. I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. I need one beer just because I'm going to have a beer to watch it. Loved it. One beer.
All right, one beer from Pete. Kathleen?
Well.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
I'm actually going to surprise everyone and tell you that I only need two beers.
Really?
To drink this movie.
To drink this movie. Oh, you set Troy off again.
I've had more than two beers tonight. So, much like last month's movie, even though I totally got up and walked out of that one and was just like, sick of pork in me, I'm done. After we sat down and we all talked about it, listening to you guys talk about it and, you know, everything, I realized that had I been watching that movie in a group, with a group of people who love that movie, I probably would have at least finished watching the movie. Not still saying that I would have loved it, but I would have at least finished watching the movie. With this one, I almost kind of, because you were so excited about it, you didn't tell us anything
about
other
this
than,
one?
Yes, yeah, about okay. this one. You didn't tell us anything other than it was for Cinco de Mayo and that it would have subtitles.
Right.
But you were so flipping giddy about this movie that I almost kind of watched the movie through the lens of, like, being in a group with the people who love the movie. And there were so many just little funny lines and so many, like, good sight gags and... You know, I mean, really, other than mansplaining robots and bathing suit spacesuits, I didn't really have a lot to complain about.
Bathing spacesuits,
you know? I mean, I didn't really have a lot to bitch about with this. Again, I'm not going to sit down willingly on a Saturday and watch it in my free time, but it was not the torture that I normally have to do on this podcast. So, two beers.
Love it.
All right, Troy.
Yeah, it's one beer.
Yes!
Yeah.
Troy!
Because
the man.
Our hero, the singing cowboy, is so charming.
True.
He's so great. The ladies are so beautiful. The robot is goofy. The monsters are awesome. I love the monsters in this. And, like, especially the Martian prince with his giant brain head. Is obviously just like a foam head stuck on some kind of turtleneck. But it's awesome. It's so great. One beer.
Yes.
One beer, all right.
Dave, what about you, man?
Two beers, and I will explain each beer.
Beer with purpose.
I'm looking forward to this, yeah.
Okay, like if I were to watch this completely dead sober, I would think, okay, well, this is mildly amusing.
Yeah.
One beer... And I would think, okay, this is actually kind of an interesting movie. Two beers, and I would find it funny.
Yeah.
And I did. And more than that, I wouldn't eat. It only, like, as soon as the second beer is consumed, the movie is enjoyable. Not just as an interesting sort of, like, cultural...
Touchstone,
like,
or whatever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Cultural look into 1960s Mexican cinema. But as in legitimately, like, just as a viewer of a movie, after two beers, I liked it.
Yep.
Well, three beers makes it hard to read.
There is that, isn't there?
You can't get too drunk, or you really will have no idea what's going on. So, I have to say to you, I know we're wrapping it up, but my favorite part of this movie was when they were in, what's his name, Laureano and Chewie's house, and he's going to explain to the ladies what love is. He has a fucking jukebox in his own house, right? Which, that's cool, whatever, yeah. Right? But it's his jukebox, and he turns to Chewie, and he wants the quarter that they have that's attached to a string, so they can, like, let it into the jukebox and then pull it back out and keep their quarter. And I'm dying laughing at this for two reasons. One, the logical side of my brain, which I should never impart while I'm watching this movie, is like, it's your fucking jukebox. Open the back and get your damn quarter back.
Where's the key? You got a key, right?
Just put the quarter in. But the second part is because Chewie is like, you're so cheap. I lost it. Sorry. Like, just put in a coin. And it's like this little kid that's like maybe 10, that's the little brother in the movie, is chewing out this full-size adult. Just like, you're so cheap. Just put it in the corner. Like, totally just sasses him. And it just tickled me. I just thought it was really funny. Well,
there are a lot of moments like that.
Yes.
It's
super charming.
Marvelous movie. Go, yep. Go see this movie.
On YouTube.
Do not fast go. Just
yeah, you don't have to go anywhere.
It's on YouTube for
heaven's sakes. Pull it up on your phone.
Type in Ship of Monsters and enjoy.
Yeah, and pat back a few beers. Or none.
Or at least one. That's what I say.
At least one. Right. Kathleen, how can people get a hold of us?
Well, dear listener, if you would like to reach out to us, you can email us or follow us on Instagram at Twitter. At a very complicated set of letters that I have to read off of a paper so that I don't say them in the wrong order to any of them, which is gbbmnpodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter or Instagram. Or you can follow us on Facebook at Good Beer Bad Movie Night, where we get to use the whole word. If you would like to leave us a review, if you go to Apple Podcasts to leave us a review so other like-minded morons can find this podcast.
Wow!
And listen to us blather on in such a fun way. That would be lovely. If you have questions, concerns, suggestions of movies, suggestions for beer...
Oh, yes, suggestions for beer. I'm always
to try.
Or if you want to mail us some.
I don't think that's legal.
We're not set up for that yet anyway.
Try.
Or just drive out here and drop it off, yeah. Right?
Yeah. But if you have suggestions of movies, suggestions of beer, or ways that we can improve the show. I mean, it's pretty fucking perfect, let's be real. But, you know, ways we can improve the show, send us an email, let us know. We will be super excited to read those. Leave us a comment on the Facebooks, the Twitters, the Instagrams. On Instagram, you can always see pictures of all the different beers that we have tried. I tried really hard to keep up with that as we do each episode.
Thank you.
And they actually end up, the beer comes out before the episode does. The post, I mean, because I post them while we record, so it's all good.
Thank you, Kathleen.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
And read all about the Geary at goodbeerbadmovienight.com.
That's right. Trey did a very lovely job explaining it here, but he did a much better job writing it all out.
It's marvelous. Yes. It brought a tear to my eye. It was wonderful.
Well,
Thank
and
you.
We have plans to expand that page on the website, right?
Yes.
To make a list of beers that we have personally tried that fit the Geary, so you can seek those beers out, try them,
and let us know if that actually does fit for you.
Right.
Because everybody's a little different. Maybe that is still too sweet for you, or maybe it's still too hoppy for you. Mm-hmm. So you might have to adjust your Geary theory.
You just wanted to say that.
I did. I desperately
just
wanted
like,
to say that.
What is it? The women from the planet. What did you call them?
Venusians.
You must have said it like nine times
It was so much fun
synopsis.
To say.
I know.
Because I didn't seem to... Venusians is wrong.
Yes. I did also have a little laugh at the fact that these were women from Venus because there's that stupid book, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus. And I was like, oh, I wonder if they got that from here.
Maybe.
No, that's not right.
Yeah, but
not.
Look what the guy from Mars looked like. He was a giant brain.
Yeah.
That was full of pudding.
Uh-huh.
It was a brain full of pudding.
He had a big head.
Maybe there's more to that book than
pudding-headed brain people are from Mars, women are from Venus.
What?
Pudding from Mars?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no answers.
But men with brains full of pudding and men being from Mars. together.
It's just
me. Is it me?
No, I fall into that category. Frequently. Yeah. If not always.
Ow! Sorry.
Damn, that hurt.
Terrible.
Sorry, Jen. So, so we're wrapping this up. Next month is the start of summer blockbusters, I think. June typically is... Well, maybe it's July. I don't know.
No,
July.
May. It's usually like you start getting those big ticket movies May, June.
May is always going to be Cinco de Mayo for us.
Yeah.
And... June is going to be the start of summer blockbusters. So Dave had a brilliant idea and to bring back... Well, okay, so opening the curtain a little bit. Originally, when I had ideas for Good Beer, Bad Movie Night, just in my basement as I would torture my friends with the, come over and drink great beer and watch a shitty movie. One of my favorite things to do was to find a film with a lot of famous people that you would know, and here is a terrible movie that they were in. Whether it was an early on thing of theirs or just something they should not have been in.
The Swarm would have been.
Right, if that wasn't such a sad movie, top to bottom.
And 8 billion hours long.
Oh my god, that would have been a perfect example of a classic Good Beer Bad Movie Night from. What, 10 years ago, or whenever we started
March,
this. Right.
Ago, yeah.
Right, so Dave said, why don't we do something that is a little more popular, and things people may have seen, people know these characters in there. So I'm like...
Right. A little more high profile.
Right. Grand idea. So for the start of the summer blockbuster movies, this is one that's been on my list to do for the podcast. I want to do 2008 Speed Racer. John Goodman, Susan Sarandon, Christina Ricci, and a slew of other people that have no business being in this.
By the Wachowski brothers.
Yes. Yes.
Wachowskis.
Wachowskis.
Who? I was going to say.
I couldn't. I don't know.
It was a high budget film.
Yeah, I remember when
it
this came out.
It was a terrible return. And I'm not going to play my hand right now, but it's awesomely bad.
Sweet.
Right on.
Let's do it.
All right.
So, Speed Racer, for those of you at home who want to play along, grab Speed Racer from Netflix or your local library, which is exactly what I did. And we'll see you next month.
Show enough.
Tonight's son of a bitch.
You're going to enjoy editing this.
I am. I truly am. Hey, damn. Tonight's freezer. Hell. 1960s. Mexican standoff. No, I'm going to do that again. Tonight's movie, 1960, Ship of Monsters, is a Mexican language film. Mexican language.
Also known as Spanish.
Spanish language.
Oh my gosh. It's like, you said it, and I was like, well, that was a weird way to say it. And then the look on his face, like, the fuck, I didn't say anything wrong. It's like, I'm pretty sure he did.